Hello, hello, hello. Here's Marlenka with another episode from Sri Aurobindo's essays, Divine and Human. There is something more that has yet to be brought down from above and is now seen only by broken glimpses through sudden rifts in the giant wall of our limitations. Or else, there is something yet to be evolved from below, sleeping under the veil of man's mental consciousness, or half visible by flashes, as life once slept in the stone and metal, mind in the plant, and reason in the cave of animal memory, underlying its imperfect apparatus of emotion and sense device and instinct. Something there is in us yet unexpressed, that has to be delivered by an enveloping illumination from above. A Godhead is imprisoned in our depths, one in its being with a greater Godhead ready to descend from superhuman summits. In that descent and awakened joining is the secret of our future. Man's greatness is not in what he is, but in what he makes possible. His glory is that he is the closed space and secret workshop of a living labor in which supermanhood is made ready by a divine craftsman. But he is admitted to a yet greater greatness, and it is this that, unlike the lower creation, he is allowed to be partly the conscious artisan of his divine change. His free assent, his consecrated will, and participation are needed that into his body may descend the glory that will replace him. His aspiration is Earth's call to the supramental creator. If Earth calls and the Supreme answers, the hour can be even now for that immense and glorious transformation. The involved and evolving Godhead, the involution of a superconscient spirit in inconscient matter, is the secret cause of this visible and apparent world. The key word of the Earth's riddle is the gradual evolution of a hidden, illimitable consciousness and power out of the seemingly inert yet furiously driven force of insensible nature. Earth life is one self-chosen habitation of a great divinity, and his aeonic will is to change it from a blind prison into his splendid mansion and high, heaven-reaching temple. The nature of the divinity in the world is an enigma to the mind, but to our enlarging consciousness it will appear as a presence, simple and inevitable. Freed, we shall enter into the immutable stability of an eternal existence that puts on this revealing multitude of significant mutable forms. Illumined, we shall become aware of the indivisible light of an infinite consciousness that breaks out here into multiform grouping and detail of knowledge. Sublimated in might, we shall share the illimitable movement of an omnipotent force that works out its marvels in self-imposed limits. Fixed in griefless bliss, we shall possess the calm and ecstasy of an immeasurable delight that creates forever the multitudinous waves and rhythms and the ever-increasing outward-going and inward-drawing intensities of its own creative and communicative, world-possessing and self-possessing bliss. This, since we are inwardly souls of that spirit, will be the nature of our fourfold experience when the evolving Godhead will work here in its own unveiled movement. If that full manifestation had been from the beginning, there would be no terrestrial problem, no anguish of growth, no baffled seeking out of mind and will and life and body towards knowledge and force and joy and an immortal persistence. But this Godhead, whether within us or outside in things and forces and creatures, started from an involution in inconscience of nature and began by the manifestation of its apparent opposites. Out of a vast cosmic inconscience and inertia and insensibility, an initial disguise that is almost non-existence, the spirit in matter has chosen to evolve and slowly shape, as if in a grudging and gradually yielding material, its might and light and infinity and beatitude. The significance of the terrestrial evolution lies in this slow and progressive liberation of some latent indwelling spirit. The heart of its mystery is the difficult appearance, the tardy becoming of a divine something or someone already involved in physical nature. The spirit is there, with all its potential forces in a first formal basis of its own supporting, yet resistant substance. Its greater subsequent and deliberately emerging movements, life and mind and intuition and soul and supermind and the light of the Godhead are already there, locked up and obscurely compressed into the initial power and first expressive values of matter. Now, before there could be any evolution, there must needs be this involution of the divine all that is to emerge. Otherwise, there would have been not an ordered and significant evolution, but a successive creation of things unforeseeable, not contained in their antecedents, not their inevitable consequences, or right followers in sequence. This world is not an apparent order fortuitously managed by an inexplicable chance. Neither is it a marvelous mechanism, miraculously contrived by a stumblingly fortunate unconscious force or mechanical necessity. It is not even a structure built according to his fancy or will by an external, and therefore necessarily a limited creator. Mentally conceivable, each of these solutions can explain one side or appearance of things. But it is a greater truth that can alone successfully join all the aspects and illumine all the facts of the enigma. If all were indeed a result of cosmic chance, there would be no necessity of a new advance. Nothing beyond mind need appear in the material world, as indeed there was then no necessity for even mind to arise at all out of the meaningless, blind material world. Consciousness itself would be only a fortuitous apparition, a strange, hallucinating reflection or ghost of matter. Or, if all were the work of a mechanical force, then, too, mind need not have appeared at all as part of the huge grinding engine. There was no indispensable call for this subtler and yet less competent groping mechanic contrivance. No frail thinking brain should have been there to labor over the quite sufficient cogs and springs and pistons of the first unerring machine. A supermind added on this brilliant and painful complication would be still more a superfluity and a luminous insolence. It could be nothing more than a false pretension of transitory consciousness to govern and possess the greater inconscient force that is its creator. Or, if an experimenting external and therefore limited creator were the inventor of the animal's suffering life and man's fumbling mind and this huge, mainly unused and useless universe, there was no reason why he should not have stopped short with the construction of a mental intelligence in his creatures, content with the difficult ingenuity of his labor. Why, even if he were all-powerful and all-wise, he might well pause there. For if he went further, the creature would be in danger of rising too near to the level of his maker. But if this is the truth of things, that an infinite spirit, an eternal divine presence and consciousness and force and bliss is involved and hidden here and slowly emerges, then is it inevitable that its powers, or the ascending degrees of its one power, should emerge too, one after the other, till the whole glory is manifested, a mighty divine fact embodied and dynamic and visible. Well, I think it's a place here to pause until the next episode. Thank you for listening, and may you be illumined. May there be light entering where there was darkness. And so it is. Bye for now.
റേഡിയോ.